you people. I felt so bad for Kim today.
Yeah.
Like the whole day, I'm thinking, now where does one start if you're trying to put together a newscast?
Scrambling, right? It's just so much coming in by the minute.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
Like, what's your lead?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'd like to sue the federal government for being prejudiced against Eddie's. Guy's named Eddie. That's it. Seems like, you know, they're constantly raiding their offices, doing things. I mean,
I don't like the Eddies.
I think I've got a case here.
Yeah,
I think I do.
Got some data
right now. Don't name your newborn Eddie.
Yeah, don't. That's not a good thing.
Especially if they want some kind of role in government at some point. This is dangerous. Do you like how they kind of redecorated all the office? The office, though, they put up the brown paper courtesy of the federal government at the city hall office of Ed Burke, and then also at his ward offices.
Yes,
so you can't see inside what they're doing.
Right.
You think they use Christmas paper.
Yeah,
festive. See, now that at least would show that the government has a heart, that the war on Christmas truly is over. I believe that this is another indication. You're right there, my client, the Honorable Mr. Burke. This is proof that the government has a war on Christmas and a war on Eddies. Your Honor, I'll sit down and wait. I immediately called all the lawyers that we have on this program. Uh-huh. I go, did Eddie hire you yet?
I was wondering the same thing. I was wondering if Mike Monaco would be able to talk with us today.
Yes, he will be here. He's coming up. The thing is, he's scheduled to be here at 3:40 to talk about it, but he may not be able to make it. If he's not here at 3:38, we will know he got hired by Ed Burke. I think that's what we'll know.
Still have 20 plus minutes for that to happen.
Right.
We got a statement from Ed Burke just saying that he's been under investigation before, as all of us know, because he's been in office for nearly 50 years.
50 years.
Several
yeah.
times the feds have sort of aimed in his direction, and nothing's ever come of it. So he's cooperating, he says, just as he has before.
I don't ever recall, however, and maybe I'm wrong, but I've been, for 30 of his 50 years, I've been covering this town,
mm-hmm.
and I do not ever recall the feds breaking into his office and covering it up with brown paper. I don't remember.
Right.
I think I would remember that.
You would have been taking away his computer, among other things. They've got his computers. They've got lots of boxes. If you look at the video from the news crews that have been feeding in this afternoon, and you wonder if he was willing to cooperate with them. They don't usually take this. This isn't the method that they go about things. So you wonder exactly what is they're after, which is the big question this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I when you stop and you think about the way things go in this town, it doesn't seem like, and I don't know this to be 100% true. I've spent a little bit of time at events with Ed Burke. I've seen Ed Burke. I once was on a flight sitting next to him coming back from
political
convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found his sense of history, and he's a fascinating guy. He's really smart, and he's very well read, and he's well written. He's written a bunch of historical,
including
books.
A book about the fallen police officers and the history of Chicago that he's taken time to put all the data together throughout the history of the city on that.
He's also a sharp dresser.
I have a lot of respect for him on that line, but I figure after 50 years of alderman and you know, he's one of the guys who chooses the judges, and then he's got a tax appeals business, and he was handling the Trump Tower tax appeal here
for 12 years, received was able to get the Trump businesses $14 million in property tax cuts, and you could say that was owed to him, but that affiliation has sort of made people wonder, is there any connection here? There's no word from anybody that that's the case. It's just
people are speculating. Yeah, but I don't think that there's I wouldn't speculate down that road. I mean there's just you know God knows, but I don't see Ed Burke as a guy who like texts and does a lot of email. Those old school guys, they all have dumb phones. They carry flip phones with them that look, I mean, and it's amazing. The flip phone is like a 20-year-old item. It looks like it's 100 years old. They might as well be carrying one of those things that you hang on the wall that's got a mouthpiece, and then you pull the earpiece off and you're talking to it. Mabel! Get me the police!
I wonder if a millennial would even recognize a flip phone, because they do seem so out of date.
Yeah.
But they're used by politicians for
all the time. When you see a politician with a flip phone, you got to stop and you got to think, what's he doing?
Well, as a reporter, that would mean look, we got to figure out what they're who they're talking to, because it seems like there's something that you might want to know about that phone call. You remember he's the longest serving alderman, extremely powerful head of the finance committee. Mm-hmm. Oversees the $100 million of workers' comp. There was a recent lawsuit filed in the fall about that workers' comp. Why is it under his control, and why isn't it under the city hall control and the mayor's control, where it would be the inspector general would be able to look into it and that kind of thing. So that's out there. Lots of different directions to go in here in terms of some of the scrutiny that's fallen on him in recent months.
Yeah. Oh, and Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to lying to Congress. What?
I know.
What?
I know.
It turns out that on the other side of that, Michael Cohen did use email and text and apparently was continuing to try to wire a deal for a Trump Tower Moscow in the spring of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to wire this deal with another guy who is a satellite of the Trump organization, a guy named Felix Sater, mm-hmm. who is described by law enforcement as a lifelong criminal, but he's a real estate developer in New York, which the two are not necessarily discernible at times. And he's a guy who's born in Russia, grew up in part in Israel, and then the Lower East Side of New York, Manhattan. And to Russian family, his father was considered to be the underboss of the Russian mob in New York. And Felix is 52 years old now. Is a guy who is he's a colorful figure, colorful character.
For sure.
And he and Michael Cohen were trying to wire together this deal, and they claim that they were talking to Trump about it. That Trump knew that he was, while he was running for president in the spring of 2016, was still trying to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. Now, what's interesting is the president today, when he was on the helipad, right before he got on the helicopter to get on the plane to go to Argentina mm-hmm. for the big G20 summit, he said, we weren't going to do this deal. We ended up not doing this deal because I was running for president. But if we had done the deal, it would have been fine. But while I was still running my business, these were his exact words. And Brian, I'm going to need you to find these because these are going to be evidence, prima facie. I was still running my business while running for president. Right? Do we have that?
And ABC News is reporting that that was on the list that Mueller's team presented to the president for his written responses, his Trump Tower Moscow project and involvement in quite a few questions related to that.
Right. We're going to get to this on the other side, because the other side of Kim's news at the bottom of the hour, because this is the president might have walked his way in, just like he might have Lester Holted himself again, by saying, I was running my business while I was running for office, which is okay to do technically, unless you are getting any kind of assistance from a foreign government while doing it. Mm-hmm. That's where you run afoul. Some people just call that a technicality. But he also, we didn't know he was doing this in Moscow until 2017. We didn't know he was doing that. I think that might have changed some Republicans' perception of him during the primary if they knew that he was actually doing business with the Russians.
In fact, he said the opposite. He said, I haven't done it. I'm not doing any business. I might have sold a condo
right.
or two. It seemed to minimize that involvement.
So there's that. So that happened today, too.
That happened.
We're going to talk to Ben Bradley, who is... called me with his hair on fire this morning that Ed Burke was redecorating his office with brown paper. And I said, I don't think that's what it is. But he's going to join us coming up in just a second. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's at the bottom of the hour?
Well, President Trump making changes to his schedule as he makes his way to the G20 summit.
Then there's this. Early morning, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast, Sarah Ginger's traffic, weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
All right. Ben Bradley joins us right now.
Mm-hmm. I demand a correction. My hair was not on fire today when I called you with
yes,
the Ed Burke news.
I believe it was. He goes, God, get up! Ed Burke is redecorating his office with brown packing paper on the windows. And I said, you know, Ben, I think that's the FBI. But, you know, that's how it goes.
Right.
A wise old man, especially at City Hall, knows the difference between getting an office repainted and having the feds visit.
Right.
And I couldn't help but think, so when those guys show up at City Hall, there's got to be at least like half a dozen elected officials on both sides of the building, city and county. They're like, oh, God, please, not my office.
Who's he here for?
Right. Like you're walking in and you see all the Fed cars surrounding the building.
Everybody's heart stops.
Right. And everybody turns around simultaneously and walks the other way, trying to act natural while they're doing it.
How do they know?
Yeah. I'm just going to go this way. Oh, yeah. I was going across the street.
Poor Alderman Brookins looked like he had seen a ghost when he came outside, and he was right next door to Alderman Burke. And
Well,
and Mr. Brookins has, you know, had a visit from the FBI before.
What about Dorothy Brown? What do you think Dorothy Brown was thinking?
Dorothy Brown's like, whew, they took a left out of the elevator and not a right. Thank God. And then she'd probably follow and go, hey, can I get my phone back? You all took my phone about 2 years ago with a subpoena. Can I get that back?
Right. Oh, at least Alderman Cochran knew he already had his trial for June, so he was off probably the list of visitation.
Although, you wonder when these guys are sitting there that is this going to be this? Are they coming again? Right. And they have PTSD from the first 5 or 10 times they've been visited by the G. Now, and I did like Burke's response. Burke did catch a camera today at the Yacht Club, of all places.
Is there a charity event or something?
I don't know why the Yacht Club in the middle of December.
I didn't realize it was open.
Late November, early December, not generally the kind of place. But that's a good place. If you want to go hide, the place I would go.
No one would find you.
Right, North Avenue Beach is another place I would go right now.
And what was Burke's response? I haven't heard this.
He says, I've been in office 49 years. I've been under investigation in the past, and nothing's ever come of it. And I've always cooperated in the past, and I will cooperate with whatever this investigation is.
Yeah.
And he is a savvy operator.
Oh, no.
You know, this is not, you know, some guy who's taken envelopes, you know, to get a liquor license in the ward. So, you know, if we think about what areas this could cover, what the feds could be interested in, you know, there's a couple that come to mind. You know, first of all, you have this big issue which has never been deemed illegal, and that is, you know, you have politicians who represent property tax owners to get their taxes lowered before the very bodies that they play a role in appointing.
Mm-hmm.
Burke does it, Madigan does it, and, you know, so is... have the feds found something that could suggest maybe there is now some illegality to that? That's one avenue they could be looking at. You know, Ed Burke represented the Trump Organization with the Trump Tower and getting their property taxes appealed in Chicago.
Michael Cohen
has turned over some information.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I've heard a bunch of speculation. There's been hair on fire speculation in our little media community today about exactly that, which is, what does this have to do with Trump?
I don't think so.
I don't think this has a lick of anything to do with that.
I don't either.
The G looks at all these aldermen under, you know, any kind of a circumstance. It depends. It could be, the mind reels with possibilities here of what they could be looking for. But we'll just have to see. Well, I don't recall, though. I want to clarify this, because Anna and I were just talking about this before he joined us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall any time. He says he's been under investigation a number of times. I don't recall any time, though, they went into his office and they started taking stuff out.
The feds looked at a guy who was pretty high up in his organization before, and everyone thought that guy was going to flip and cooperate, but it never got to Burke. I think what's interesting, and again, we're just speculating, reading the tea leaves here, you know, this could also be something more routine, right? Burke's finance committee controls workman's comp. It controls the city's purse strings. That's a possibility. What takes me a little further away from that...
Did they go to his law offices, though?
I called his law office about an hour or two after they raided City Hall, and a receptionist answered, and they appeared to still be operating. So... We don't have any information to suggest that.
I can't talk right now, Ben. I've got a gun to my head.
Everything's fine.
What tells me it may be more specific to Ed Burke as opposed to, you know, the functionality of his office or something is that they didn't just raid the finance committee office at City Hall, where workman's comp and where, you know, kind of all that other business is done. They also raided his ward office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's fascinating.
All right. Well, you know,
we probably won't know for months.
Yeah, we may not.
May or may not become of this.
Yeah, we may not. We may not. As I said to a friend earlier today who was asking me questions about this, I was under investigation. I said I've never seen the feds raid a guy's office and someone not go to jail. Never seen it in this town ever. I've seen guys not go to jail when their offices weren't raided. Only a couple of those people. Mm-hmm. But that's a you know, if they're coming in, they're coming. They know what they're coming for.
They're walking out with the computers and a lot of files. There's going to be a lot of information to go through.
There's a higher threshold to go raid an office at City Hall than to just kind of come in and say, hey, we're going to grab your phone and we're going to look at your personal files.
Right. And it's interesting. It was FBI, not IRS or... You know, it's FBI.
But a lot of times there's task force teams.
It does appear to be, my guess would be a public corruption team that's going in there. So we'll just have to see. He's a respected guy. He's been around a long time.
We are just getting in a statement from Alderman Burke.
Uh-oh.
Says, as you are aware, there have previously been several other investigations such as this. In every instance, we cooperated fully. In every instance, nothing has been found. So once again, we're cooperating. So kind of like he told that person who caught up to him earlier.
But that's what we're going to get today, I think.
a camera at the Yacht Club. Where was he? Was it the Yacht Club?
You know who used to take meetings over there in the winter is Mayor Daley. For that same reason is that no one was ever there. He had a lunch with somebody, I recall, staking out. At the Yacht Club.
At the Yacht Club. That's a good place. It's a good spot thing to
Yacht
do.
Yacht Club.
I mean, you got to think about it. Sometimes these guys are, remember there were a bunch of guys who used to go to a bathhouse on the west side?
Yeah.
Like to a, what was it, Russian bathhouses?
Right.
And they go there, everybody's sitting naked so no one could wear a wire. And plus, if they did wear a wire, they get electrocuted because of the steam.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's check with Kim right now. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 tonight on WGN TV. Here is Kim Gordon with the WGN Radio News. The great Warren Zevon, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. And that, by the way, when you take the elevator up to Mike Monaco's office downtown,
that's the
elevator music playing there.
Yeah, exactly.
Send Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Yeah.
Very important times like these.
Big day for the president.
Yeah. Let's start with that. I want to play something for you. This is the president right after Michael Cohen pleads guilty in the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. And this is a referral from the Southern District of New York back to Robert Mueller. This all started Robert Mueller referring Michael Cohen over to the Southern District of New York. And then the Southern District of New York sent it right back. They papered up this case about the Trump Tower in Moscow. And Robert Mueller is the guy that took this guilty plea, right? He signed this. What do you call this? This information? What do you call this, this document?
An information.
Thank you very much. Now, so then the president goes out to the helipad. This is his new favorite thing to do because he can always say he can't hear it because of the helicopter. This is the
did say that.
Reagan perfected this, right? I mean, he was really good at this. But at least Reagan. Yeah, I look at Ronald Reagan and I think to myself, at least there's a guy who...
He was truthful.
Yes, who cared about the integrity of the presidency.
That's the difference.
And he wasn't just doing this, you know, so he could be, you know, to line his own pockets, which is, I'm getting a suspicious feeling that that's what's going on here. Because he, as the president was kind of walking up and down the rope line with all the reporters... And would point at them and then take their question. And then a couple of them did it in broken English. So he goes, I didn't understand you. And then would turn around and walk away from them. But he then curiously said this.
I don't know when I decided, but somewhere during the period of time, I was never very enthused. Somewhere during the period, because I was running for president. My focus was running for president. But when I run for president... That doesn't mean I'm not allowed to do business. I was doing a lot of different things when I was running.
Okay. I don't think you can do that.
That's the opposite of that is true.
Right.
Yeah. You're not supposed to be engaged in private Enterprises.
And it's not like it was word salad, of course, because we play the beginning of that, because I don't know what he's talking about in the beginning of the answer. But he gets to the point of, I was trying to run my business. I mean, the whole point here is that he lied, that Michael Cohen lied. This is what he's pleading guilty to Congress, when he said that the Trump Tower Moscow deal was dead before the Iowa primary in January of 2016.
Right. He told both the Senate and the House that.
Right. And that's the problem, is that is not true, because he was still working on that deal on behalf of the Trump Organization until at least middle June 2016.
And spoke to the president three times about it.
Right. Now, here's the problem is that the president today didn't just leave it at that in a word cell, and you go, well, maybe it is. He said this.
Now, here's the thing. Even if he was right, it doesn't matter, because I was allowed to do whatever I wanted during the campaign. I was running my business, a lot of different things during the campaign.
What do you think about that, Mike?
Mike? If your client...
You could see why his prior counsel did not want him to answer questions live. Because he just does not... He's not
Lester Holted himself, didn't he?
Right, he Lester Holted himself.
That'll become exactly. Potentially back to be used by the investigator. But ABC News is reporting that on that list of questions for President Trump from Bob Mueller's office that he was answering in written format, that they did ask multiple questions about the Trump-Moscow project. So it does seem to be central to at least some of what they want to find out more about.
And you could see, I mean, it's clear that the special counsel is pushing this right down the road. The fact that this is so close,
kind of new for us too.
It's new. It's brand new, and it's very. I mean, it's amazing what's happening.
Can you explain why a guy running for office, not elected, never been elected to anything before? I think that's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Why, when he's running for dog catcher or president, he can? Well, let's get federal dog catcher or president. Yeah, federal.
Keep it at president.
Yeah, sure. President. Why he can't just keep doing business as usual?
Yeah, there are a couple of different reasons. One is that he has the obligation to be truthful. He has the obligation to be dealing with the, and not because at the beginning of it, as everyone else who ever ran, they said, well, I'm going to put everything in a blind trust.
Right.
You know, I'm going to put everything with my daughters, my sons will control it. Now, I have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Okay. And why is that? Because the theory is, as president, you don't want to be influenced adversely. You don't want to be influenced
as president. But while you're running,
and
there is a specific
thing.
Law
it's
here.
It's the
though,
same thing.
But there's also the specific law of taking anything of value
emoluments
from a foreign government,
right, emoluments,
while you are running. Those laws apply to candidates for president,
which they should,
because it would be like, because then you're being this, and that is from the founding fathers.
You're on the brink of becoming the president,
right? Because the founding fathers didn't want the British crown. And that's a wonderful television series. They did not want the British crown to influence using gold.
Hello,
sovereigns, to try to influence politicians here in the United States.
That's exactly right.
And so that has been on the books since the 1770s.
No, he's new. He's a new politician. He's a new politician. Doesn't
1780s? I should
doesn't
say.
Read. Doesn't know those things.
Yeah. Okay.
So if Michael Cohen lied about that in a statement to Congress, and that's what he admitted to lying to now, is Bob Mueller's team trying to create a perjury trap for the president, because he might have corroborating evidence that others also knew things were going on with the Trump Tower Moscow situation, and then it is the president who is lying about it? Or what would be the nature of trying to land this kind of, to get him to plead guilty to lying to Congress about this, when Cohen's already cooperating and is part of, working with the special counsel?
Yeah, I don't like the term perjury trap. I mean, it makes it sound like that you're making someone lie. You know, this is very quick after the
answers were submitted.
So that I can see why you're suggesting that. But it's clear that
we just heard everyone. The reason I'm using it is that everyone talked about, be careful with those answers to the question, because that's what
he has to be careful with everything.
He has to tell the
truth.
And
the trouble is, he's never truthful. He cannot answer a question truthfully, it seems. Now, I'm impressed that he's able to keep it going. I mean, he just will say anything. And, it's impressive sometimes.
But what would the special counsel get out of Michael Cohen when he's already helping, coming forward to do this, to say I lied to Congress?
This is another example of how the president was dealing with Russia long after he said he wasn't, and in a much more direct way.
That would have enriched him.
That would have enriched him. Absolutely enriched him.
Because actually, these deals that he was doing at this time would have paid him $4.5 million with no money down. He could have get a guy just $4.5 million and walked away.
Yeah.
Because and they would build a Trump Tower, and they would just have an Ivanka spa. Right. That's what they were going to build. Yeah. And then everybody gets paid basically a licensing fee.
Right.
For that. And these are
not unlike the Trump Tower here, I think. I think they have a similar deal.
More specifically, like the Trump Soho in New York, where Felix Sater, who is one of the guys who is now in the middle of all of this, was the guy who was really building that thing. And they were contracting with Trump's for the name and for some of the stylistics and things that they were doing inside the tower and some of the amenities. And that's where the Ivanka Trump ran into a problem, because Ivanka Trump was making assertions as to the number of condos that had been sold out in that, saying that they were over 70% sold when they were at 17% sold. And
typo.
And no, a clear misspeak. And there was a move to indict her in New York on that, and that would have been state would have been a state charge. But the district attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr., who was a contributor to the Trumps over the years, and friends with them, did not indict her. And that in New York has created a big problem, because that's the kind of thing that, you know, one would, and this is before he was running for president. That was the kind of thing that you think, well, you know, you can't, if you're saying to investors, hey, listen, almost sold out.
That's a huge
problem. That's fraud, right?
It's close.
I got to tell you something. My moisturizer is more moisturizing than any other moisturizer. That's also fraud.
The beauty industry, though.
Here's the thing, though. This is, I think, an important one of the charges in the information today. The Moscow project was discussed multiple times within the company, and that did not end in January 2016, as asserted by Michael Cohen to Congress.
Right.
Instead, as late as approximately June of 2016, Cohen and Felix Sater discussed efforts to obtain Russian governmental approval for the project. Cohen discussed the status and progress of the Moscow project with the president on more than three occasions.
Right.
Cohen claimed to the committee and briefly family members of the president within the company about the project.
Right. So it's,
I mean, this is that's
there's more, there's gonna be more than this. This is like sort of the tip of the iceberg.
Can I ask you about Ed Burke on the other side?
Okay. I don't know anything about it, but
I know
I'll
you don't know anything. I'm just asking about the idea of I want to take through the process of what today is like in a situation like you have there. Okay, because Ed Burke's offices got raided by the federal government today, and one must wonder what that is all about, because he's a big-time player here.
Absolutely.
And my phone's ringing, and God knows who this is. All right, can we just now check in? Tell him I'm not here. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
President Trump's former lawyer making a surprise appearance in a New York courtroom today.
Coming up, the stories that matter. Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. But Mike Monaco right now is with us, and our legal analyst. And we were just talking about the president and Michael Cohen and what's going on there. More of that to come a little bit later on the program. But Ed Burke's political offices today, his office at City Hall and his ward office, both...
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Raided by the federal government. And they put up brown wrapping paper on the window so nobody could see what they were doing. I've never seen that
before.
They
did a nice job, too. Did you see how seamlessly they applied it to all the offices of City Hall and his ward offices? So.
Yeah. Frank came over and decorated it. From
nicely done.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Although there was one little area there in the middle you could, some cameras were able to spy, like an FBI guy on, at the desk.
What do we make of this?
Well, it's a big deal, obviously, and that the federal government apparently felt that it wasn't necessary for them to execute a search warrant rather than just to send subpoenas for information, for all the documents or all the computers or whatever they wanted. This way, they are, it's a much more intrusive way of getting everything, obviously, and they bust into his offices and his ward offices in downtown, and I have no idea what they're looking for, but, you know, search warrants have to have particularity. They have to describe with particularity where they're going to search and what they're looking for. Now, that's what the law says. Mm-hmm. In reality, it's not unusual that they take everything they can, all the documents.
Everything they can find.
Everything they can find.
All right, very quickly, let me just ask you this question. When the federal law enforcement cars surrounded City Hall today, how many phone calls did you get from people going, hey, can I come over to your office right now?
Yeah.
Not that. All right.
You're very funny.
Yes. You should call. Listen, if you're a politician, you should call Mike Monaco, Monaco at Law. No case too big or too small, but especially in this particular environment. Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate
your
time.
My pleasure.
We've got the news in two. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. Listen to this.
All right.
You want to call dibs?
Yes.
On VIP tickets to the First Row L presented by New Balance Chicago, thanks to Hilton's of Chicago. You want to do that? You want to call dibs at one of the three participating Hiltons, the Drake, the Hilton Chicago, or the Palmer House? Your VIP tickets are in your hand if you're caller number 19 right now, 312-981-7200. Your VIP tickets include preferential seating and appetizers, kind of a great view of the show, Friday, December 7th at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine, benefiting Toys for Tots. We ask that you bring a toy for that.
Unwrapped.
As well. How about that?
Week from tomorrow.
Right.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my. Is it a week from tomorrow already?
Yeah.
Tom.
Isn't that weird? Are you guys ready? Do you figure out what you're going to wear?
I just got some toys to bring. I'm pretty excited about
them. I did, too.
Do you know what, too? Did you realize that you scheduled this on Pearl Harbor Day, too?
Yeah, I'm aware of that. This thing has fallen on Pearl Harbor Day a number of times over the years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. And you're just like Santa Con.
That's me, Santa Con.
Well, he's a giver year-round, but especially this time of year.
Con Santa. Whatever.
They call me Ebenezer Skilling, so I...
That's not right,
No, you know why?
Because I haven't given any sun,
No, he's Ebenezer Skilling because he actually has that big hat that he wears to bed and like a big, like that dress.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that like men in the 1700s would wear to go to bed.
Don't make fun of my hat.
It's like a dinner. It's like a night shirt or a onesie.
My dogs love that. They just
chew on that when you're asleep.
That's right. They go roar. They're saying, gee, that really looks stunning.
And he wakes up, and Tom will wake up sometimes, and he sees, like, what is it, PJ Hoff, or what was it, the weather guy from the 1950s here?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of your bed, you're like, oh, my God!
Yeah.
He's the ghost of Weather
Yule.
Past,
yeah.
Or Clint Yule.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a Mike Hamernick. Like, it's the ghost of weather future.
Yeah. They'd show me what would have happened if the forecast worked out.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that.
I can only imagine your nightmares.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
You know what my nightmares consist of? It's usually being 2 minutes to airtime and realizing I hadn't done any graphics or it wasn't ready.
Isn't that funny? The anxiety dreams. Even though you've been doing it for so long, you can do it like the back of your hand.
Or the other one that we all have is waking up and predict. You know, we have a final exam on which half our grade depends, and we forgot to study for
it. Or we never went to class.
Right.
I have that one.
I have that one all the time. The only problem is that actually happened to me. So.
Sorry, not really a nightmare. No. It's a reality mare.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you have to go to this class? Oh,
yeah. No. Darn. When did that happen?
I'm always stuck in an elevator and can't get to the show.
Oh, that's a great one.
But yesterday I was rushing to get here, and the traffic got crazy. I was rushing to get to the morning show.
Yeah.
And the traffic was nuts on Lakeshore Drive. And all of a sudden, I'm like in it, and I'm like, oh my God, I have this dream all the time.
You know, every one of these dreams has a basis in fact and real life experience at one time.
Oh God, I hope not.
Don't tell me
I think you're right. It does.
Yeah,
it's kind of like subconsciously what you're worried about, being late or failing.
I had a wild dream last night. I was being mugged, and then two Bears players came and saved me and beat up the guy with the gun. I said, but this is the inner Bears meatball in me. Like, the Bears have made my life better in that dream. They made my life a whole lot better.
Was it Khalil Mack?
I couldn't make out who it was.
They were wearing
their away jerseys, white jerseys.
Oh,
and we were at Hallis Hall, but it looked nothing like Hallis Hall, but I just thought I was at Hallis Hall. We were like on the front lawn of Hallis Hall, and these guys were like beating up the muggers.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard a sportscaster's dream, nightmare.
Yeah, it's what you'd expect from a sportscaster.
You know what people love? When other people talk about their dreams.
Yeah.
I love hearing people's dreams.
Are you being sarcastic? Because you always tell people about your dreams.
No, I never. I don't dream.
Oh. You don't? Oh, is that right? Doesn't that mean
that you... She always says that, Tom, and then she comes in the news. I'm like, everybody, you're not going to believe my dream last night.
Because it's groundbreaking when I do have a dream.
Well, you know, doesn't that... No, I have... Doesn't that mean you have a particularly deep and refreshing sort of sleep?
No, it means that she drinks too much.
Oh!
Because when you don't drink, you don't dream. That's the truth.
I never remember my dreams. Do you guys remember all of your dreams?
No, not
all of them.
You only remember you wake up in the middle of it or something?
You know, it's funny. I thought it had to do with the depth of the dream, whether you went into REM sleep or I don't know a lot about that subject. That sounds like a Rokan
thing. It is true, though, if you do drink. I mean, I know this from personal experience.
Yeah.
If you don't drink before you go to bed, if you don't drink like that whole day, you'll have dreams. And if you do drink, you know, go out for cocktails or whatever at night, your dream potential is going to be...
Or you won't remember.
Because your sleep is worse as well if you're drinking.
You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, pounding heart rate like heart's like a rabbit, and then you've got dry mouth. And then you're like, what did I do?
But the best dreams are on NyQuil. Oh, jeez.
That's true.
It's like I'm hallucinating the entire time. I don't think I'm even sleeping.
Wow.
And now we got the sleeping aids, like NyQuil stuff. I mean, NyQuil is always a sleeping aid, but now it's just strictly for sleeping. It's not if you have a cold or anything. I've taken that.
Oh, my God.
I've had some dreams on that.
Oh, God. Oh. You do. And they're like so... scared. I had a dream last week. I got stuck in the sales department. This is honest to God true.
No, this just happened 2 hours ago.
I was walking through the sales department, and I got stuck, and I couldn't move, and I heard the salespeople all coming at me. And it was like, it felt like you're in the Serengeti, and like the lions are surrounding you.
Wow.
You know, it was like that. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And I can't move, and I can't move. I screamed and woke up.
Wow. Now, why do you... suppose the sales department was in on that.
Oh my God! You see, I'm like, I'm the one hyena that got away from the pack, surrounded by the lions. It's like, or maybe the other way around, and the lion got surrounded by hyenas. You know, the new live action Lion King's coming out, so the hyenas are the bad guys. So I'm going to go with I'm the lion cub that got away.
You know, isn't it fascinating though? Seriously, what in the process that's going on there? I guess it's kind of like a brain cleansing process or something. Our dreams are, and it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And you know, I get a kick. Even my dog's dream.
Do you ever see him running?
That's the best.
I love that when they start running.
It's the best.
Yeah,
you imagine what it is that they must be dreaming about.
I know.
Chasing squirrels or tennis balls. That's pretty much it.
Right.
Or getting scratched
by
their own.
They howl and their little feet start moving.
I know.
It's just so cute.
I know, little Maddie, one of our dogs, she'll be there.
And I just start talking in their
sleep. I know. And you think, I wonder what's going through that little mind
right now.
Do you
think they dream in English?
You know, what's interesting is, without question.
That's interesting.
Without question. What is, unlike you, they dream in English. There is, you see this
That's
now,
mean.
In the wild, do you think in the wild, their animals also dream and do that, or they're just so worried they have to sleep very lightly because they're about to be eaten.
Is it just
like dogs and cats?
By a predator.
Right. Uh-huh. Like a dog, especially. I don't know if cats, I don't know if I've seen cats do this, but dogs are just sitting there thinking, I got nothing to worry about here.
The worst
that could happen is they're going to get mad at me for getting on the couch or going on the linoleum because they didn't take me out.
You know, the most interesting thing I heard about dreams, that's an interesting point. You wonder about that. I remember my German teacher when I was at the University of Wisconsin said that when she was learning German, and she was multilingual, but she said you knew that you had mastered the language when you dreamed in it. And I hadn't really thought about that before. In other words, if your dreams were in German and yet you basically spoke English, but that was a sign that you had mastered the German.
Some of my dreams are in German, but I don't speak the language. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's some of those nightmares, and they're kind of recent too. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a thing. All right,
probably knew this Deutsche Bank thing was coming. That's
exactly my problem.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the weekend. It's going to be wacky here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. This is a very windy storm coming up here, and it'll be liquid. Might start in the early pre-dawn hours of Saturday in some spots as a mix, but it'll rain. It's like about an 8 to 10-hour rain that'll be steady with an embedded thunderstorm, not out of the question, and then it becomes more showery. And the center of the storm will be approaching us. The winds will be very strong from the east all day long. That's going to build 6 to 8 foot waves along the lake, so there'll be a wild Lake Michigan as you drive up the drive. And then it calms down because the storm goes over us Saturday night. And by that time, the air will be saturated with moisture. We will have warmed up. It'll be warmer later Saturday night than it will be during the day. So we could get fog to form and go into Sunday morning. And then the winds on the backside of the system will start to pick up. The fog will thin. We'll get some rain showers Sunday afternoon.
You're describing the perfect storm for me and Kev. Because we're going to go cover the Big Ten championship game.
Oh.
And we have to drive from here to Indianapolis all in one and back. In the morning, we're going down. And then after the game, at like 10 o'clock at night, we're coming back up here.
You know what? I don't think you're going to have a terrible time at all.
No, we're going to have a great time because it's the Big Ten championship game. But are we going to survive the drive?
No, that's what I mean. I mean, the weather won't give you a problem. Look, there'll be some rain. There's no question about that in Indianapolis. There might be a thunderstorm. But the corridor of really steady, heavy rain, I'm just looking at it right now to get a feel for this. It'll be over Indianapolis in the morning, and then it'll rain in the afternoon, but it'll be more occasional and showery-type stuff there.
And that's a dome stadium, so it's got to be retractable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But your travel, when are you leaving to go down there?
10 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning.
I know. This is where we dial in the weather. This is the best part of working with Tom Skilling, is you just dial in the weather with him. So, Tom, I need exactly this.
Just for me. No one else will care about this?
This is no relevance to... Well, there will be a bunch of people.
That caravan... Of Northwestern students, but they don't care about the weather.
Well, you know what? It's going to rain, and you can handle that. It'll be raining at a pretty good rate when you leave here, and you'll be driving through rain the whole way down. But what you might find is, as you get down there, the rain will be a little less intense.
Well, better than snow, because snow...
You're not going to worry about that. Yeah. And when are you coming back?
That night.
No trouble. Yeah, like overnight.
The rain will taper off to, like drizzle or lighter stuff as you head north.
So I'm glad, Tom, you're looking out for us.
There could be some fog, though. That's the only thing as you get up in this area.
Okay.
But
we'll get that figured out.
Nothing you guys can't handle.
No. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not sure about that. Tom, I'm not sure about that.
Bring your thunder vest.
All right. I have to crawl into the back of the Traverse.
I remember when you guys were out in Iowa. Now, that was dicey.
You helped us out of that.
You totally did.
You guys were racing that. I remember.
We got out in the front of that storm because we listened to you and your weather. You had all the models going.
Glad.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you one thing. If you were going out to Nebraska, now you'd have a real problem because those folks are going to get nailed with snow on this system. And they could be talking a foot or more of snow in places out in Nebraska. So, there goes my phone again.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've been getting
That's the program director telling him, telling him, stop talking to Roe about his personal
his
forecast.
His personal forecast. Yeah. I see. Yeah.
I understand. I get it. Yeah. All right. Well, but it is going to be a dicey weather weekend. And then Saturday, I guess, for we'll check this because we got to make some decisions tomorrow about the Bears on Sunday. So you'll have to let us know. I need an in-depth. From
what time is the game?
Noon, 1 o'clock Eastern.
It's a nooner
In New Jersey.
Oh, in New Jersey. Okay, yeah. I gotta. But you know,
gotta get that for
been
us.
So buried that's in this blizzard and the aftermath.
No. But you gotta cover our bets here, Tom. We need to know. This is the all over right. under. Is dependent upon what you tell us.
All right. All right. I will have the whole the details scoop for you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey You're guys, the best. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. See you later. Dream on, guys. see you later.
See what he did. Yeah. All right, very Cam. Nice. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, if you're walking around the city today, you may want to wear a helmet.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. It is. All right, Dane Placco is joining us. He is the investigative reporter to Fox 32. And I said this earlier, Dane, and I've gotten some pushback from lawyers. But, you know, when the feds raid your office and you're a politician, it rarely works out well for you.
I scripted out the top to my 5 o'clock lead, and you just about said exactly what I'm going to say. Is that when you're a Chicago politician and the feds drop in on your office, it's not a good day.
No, it's not. Although, I got to tell you, it was a good day for the other 49 members of the city council whose office didn't get raided, because when they all saw the cars surround City Hall today, I know that they were all turning around and walking the other way. Or trying to sink into the wallpaper, whatever you could do at City Hall to get away from it. What do we know about this, though? Because this comes as a surprise, and there's incredible perimeter security around information here.
Yeah, as there always is in a federal investigation. I mean, I kind of had a sense we weren't going to get any explanation today, and I doubt we'll get any for some time. I mean, there's a lot of theories flying around as to what it could be about, but the feds aren't talking, the FBI isn't talking, the U.S. Attorney's Office isn't talking. They're not even confirming that they sent a team over to both the City Hall office and his ward office, but there were a lot of FBI agents crawling all over that Third Ward Budget Committee office and just as many down on the southwest side today.
Dane, let me ask you about that, because if you look at the national news headlines, some of the ones that cover politics, they're calling him Donald Trump's former tax lawyer, you know, and they're sort of linking him to the fact that he helped with the real estate taxes and appeals process. Mm-hmm. But I think we've been sort of casting doubt on whether that really would be central to this, because they didn't even raid, if I'm not incorrect, his law office. They raided his city hall offices and his ward office.
Yeah, he's got his law office, Claffer and Burke, which does big-time property tax appeals for, you know, mostly commercial and high-end properties. And as far as we know, they did not pay a visit over there. So if it was just limited to the, you know, the city side of business, it would suggest that it may be more related to that.
So I heard another theory from an ink-stained wretch here in Chicago, as we like to refer to print reporters, that maybe this is a moment where, because he turned on Trump, that Trump has turned the Justice Department on him. I kind of think if Trump's going to get a favor from the Justice Department, it's not going to be about Ed Burke.
This isn't the direction
I'm sort of throwing that out with the bathwater right there, because I just don't think that makes a ton of sense.
He's got some other favors.
Yeah, I mean, as big a fish as Ed Burke is politically here in Chicago, on the national scale, I don't think the president would be using any favors Ed Burke.
No. And I don't think the Justice Department's returning his calls anyway right now. I think there are some bigger issues that are going on there, what we should say here is, generally when you have a situation like you have today, this is, in the years we've been following these kinds of things, this is the result. Once there's a raid, that's the result of months and months and months of investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was probably a grand jury that had been impaneled, a lot of evidence presented to that grand jury. They obviously had to go to a judge to get these search warrants, so they had to have some probable cause. So this wasn't like, this is not the start of an investigation. What we're finally seeing is the public face of an investigation that may have been going on for some time. It leads to my speculation. If I had to guess what this is about, this is only a guess, is the city's workman comp program.
Right.
We know that the feds have been interested in that in the past. They've subpoenaed some documents. So the budget committee, which Burke controls, also runs the workman's comp program. And we've been hearing for years as reporters, I'm sure you got these tips yourself, that there are a lot of politically connected people that maybe bruised a pinky in the past and have not been seen at their jobs ever since. And the problem is when we try to look at the workman's comp program, and even when the city inspector general, Joe Ferguson, tried to look at it a couple of years ago, we're rebuffed on the grounds that it violates the medical privacy of the people that are in it.
Right.
So it's sort of, you know, we've heard there could be literally hundreds of people in this program, but we just don't know. And so maybe that's what the feds are looking
at. It's a $100 million program, and you're right, it seems to fall outside the IG's ability to discover pretty much anything. But there was that lawsuit filed this fall where they had asked to put it under City Hall's umbrella mm-hmm. of responsibilities and take it away from a single alderman. And that was, you know, that was something that has been filed recently as well.
Yeah. You know how this goes around mm-hmm. here. The one thing, when you describe the power of a Chicago alderman to any other politician in the world,
right.
There are literally Vladimir Putin would turn around and go, they can do what?
I want that job.
Right. A Chicago alderman may be the most powerful municipal elected official in the country mm-hmm. in terms of what they can do.
And Alderman Burke would be the most powerful of them, probably.
Yeah, and think of it, if you live in the city of Chicago and you have a problem, who do you call? Do you call your state rep? Probably not. Do you call your senator? I don't know. You call your alderman, mm-hmm. right? They're the ones that are sort of the conduit between the government and the people who live in their ward.
But they are the purveyors of all pain and pleasure in the mm-hmm. ward. I mean, if you have a business, you want to start a business in a ward, the alderman has to sign off on it. You can't get a business
right.
license without an alderman signing off mm-hmm. on it. You want to build a house or a building or whatever. You know, you want to do any kind of construction. You want to fix your toilet. You almost mm-hmm. need the alderman to sign off on it. I mean, it is an incredibly powerful, powerful thing. And Ed Burke has been wielding that power not just over his ward, but over the futures of wards, you know, throughout this city.
Yeah.
And Ed Burke has also been one of the most powerful people in terms of if you want to get slated for right. to run for judge, let's say,
mm-hmm.
In Cook County,
mm-hmm.
you have to stop by Ed Burke to get the blessing.
Right.
Dane, what
the
else?
Papal dispensation.
Yeah.
Dane, I know you were probably stationed right outside with a lot of the other reporters today, and they put up the brown paper the feds did when they went in, so you couldn't see what they were doing in the offices.
Right.
But it seemed like they were bringing some things out that were caught by the cameras. What did you see?
So here at City Hall, which is where I'm talking to you from right now, I'm just outside City Hall, we didn't see the feds. We knew they were behind the brown paper. We could see a little activity back there, but they snuck out the second floor. There's a staircase from the third floor office of the budget committee that goes down to, you know, that little anteroom area is behind the city council chambers. Mm-hmm. There's a staircase that goes down there. They apparently they walked out that way. So we didn't see if they took anything out. However, on the southwest side at the ward office, which is a kind of a very public area, we did see the FBI agents walking out with computer equipment, computers, boxes of files. They were taking quite a bit of stuff out of that particular office.
Hmm.
All right.
A lot to look through over the coming months.
Yes, a lot. Very
interesting. We did actually kind of catch up. We caught up to Ed Burke today.
Oh.
Our station was the only one that got an interview with him.
I do love this, by the way. Wait, please tell, please, Dane, we mentioned this earlier, but I prefer you to. Where exactly did your cameras catch him?
Well, it might have been the Chicago Yacht Club.
Chicago
what?
Yacht Club.
Dane, how does that make
Dane,
sense?
Dane, what is the temperature today in Chicago?
Yeah,
I think the story I hear is that he was there with his family for a luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
His wife Ann Burke, the state Supreme Court justice, had been sworn in again earlier today at a ceremony, and they had a little family function over at the Yacht Club.
Yeah, that's where everybody goes in the end of November.
I got a tip that he was over there. We sent a camera over, and Burke saw our cameraman and walked out and said, "Can I help you?" Poor cameraman said, "Well, yeah, we're just kind of wondering if you have any response to what's going on right now." And he talked to us for a little bit. So we're going to use some of that at 5 o'clock, a little bit more at 9.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I said that I'm surprised you didn't go to that little restaurant at North Avenue Beach today. That's kind of a nice place to be on a blowy November day.
Castaways.
Yeah, Castaways.
Yeah, the bleachers at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, there'd be a nice place to go. Yeah, I mean, would that surprise anybody?
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, thank you, Dane. We'll watch for this tonight on Fox 32.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Yacht Club.
That's where you got to go.
I did not even know that was open at this time of year.
Nobody does. That's the point.
No idea.
Also, hard to record stuff with the waves crashing.
Yes, right, exactly.
Very windy over there.
Yeah, it's something. And then isn't the Yacht Club floating, too? Isn't it sort of like on a... Can you get... Oh, that's
is that
other
like
one.
Switzerland, so no. You can't really get anybody over there?
What's the one that's on a boat? There's one over there that's a big blue boat.
I've been on
What are you doing at the water reclamation facility?
Right, you're like an intake. Oh, man. Actually, yeah. I thought maybe if he got on a boat and he sailed out into Lake Michigan, it was like international waters and no one could take him.
That's what I was wondering. Is there some sort of immunity over there? Columbia Yacht Club, I think, is
yes,
the one
that's, right.
that's
Thank
on
you.
The boat. Yeah. That's a fun one, too.
Right. So the camera shows up and all of a sudden the guys throw the line and that thing goes out into the water.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The chairman can't be available for comment. He's a fascinating public figure.
Sure,
has been
sure is.
In Chicago
50
for
years.
50 years. But, we'll just have to see what happens here. We can speculate all we want.
Mm-hmm.
If it does come down to a sort of a grander investigation into some other people, not him. I mean, that's one of the...
Could be.
If this is about... I can promise you this is not about Donald Trump. National media wants to make it about Donald Trump.
Probably right.
There are other local people who are like, oh, this is all about Donald Trump. Has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Right.
We do seem to get this indication that it has to do with this investigation into workman's compensation payments to injured city workers.
It's a real possible,
right?
Seems.
And it may have nothing to do with him at the end of the day.
No, but you wonder why the feds wouldn't have issued subpoenas or taken any other types of steps short of raiding his office.
Because that would seem to not pass constitutional muster to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just have to see. We'll see.
Yeah.
It ought to be good, whatever it is.
But it might be weeks or months before we really know.
Yes, I would imagine that's going to be the case. There will be 16 more indictments of the Trump administration before we hear anything about that.
I'm counting.
All right. Let's now check in with Kim and find out what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
Roe, young offenders in Illinois may soon be able to get a second chance.
Make sure you are listening after 5:30 today. Your chance to win a Chicago Blackhawks Winter Classic jersey. As we learned yesterday, the Blackhawks head is made out of felt.
It's a felt jersey, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what we've learned?
Keeping the felt business alive.
Right. Black and white Blackhawks uniform highlighting the Blackhawks crest and heritage felt material from 1934.
Don't have any felt currently in my wardrobe, so yeah. I think this would be a nice addition.
You know, the felt was very big in the 1930s. It was the Depression, and you had to come up with something. And people wore felt hats.
Yeah, there were felt hats.
Yeah,
that's right.
They were wearing felt sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of felt.
Yeah, but there's felt blankets, too. I have a felt blanket.
Like the Snuggie, right? Isn't that kind of felt?
It's sort of a felt, yeah.
Mm.
No,
I don't think
you know what? You know what got? You know what happened? The petrochemical industry got involved in making our clothing, and now we wear what appear to be highly flammable things that get very staticky. I don't know what they're made out of, but I love them. The microfibers,
yeah, like the fleeces and stuff. The microfleeces and the Yeah.
I don't, I'm not 100% sure what that item is, but all I know is it's, I love it while I'm wearing it. It's totally comfortable until this time of year. When it sticks to you, it clings to you, and every time you put it on, it's like going to the chair.
Yeah. Don't try to touch someone else either with your puffy coat and your fleece.
Yeah, it's bad. And I don't know what they make. I know that they make it like it comes directly out of like an oil derrick,
yes,
whatever it is.
It's a synthetic fiber by, it has oil and gas type related.
I got electrocuted hitting the elevator button.
Right.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I know, it's bad. It's like the worst thing that you could possibly encounter.
We're going to lose someone.
Just trying to get to the lobby.
Right.
Get up. It's one of my things. I have this one fleecy kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a zip up fleecy deal. It's like what I wear to, around my house. It's like my house clothing. So I get up in the morning and I just put that on. And it's like,
yeah, you flip the light switch on.
And you call it your fleecy, which is not
sweet.
Where's my fleecy? I can't find it.
Can't find my fleecy.
Is it in the laundry? I told you not to wash it.
Ma.
Well, yeah, that's me yelling.
Yeah, that's you. That's you
yelling for my fleecy at
me. I'm just yelling at the butler and asking him where. Where's my fleece?
No fleecy,
Jeeves.
Jeeves,
find me my fleece.
Where's the fleecy, Jeeves?
It'd be folded at the foot of my bed every morning.
Oh man!
But anyway, the Blackhawks jersey looks amazing.
Thanks for bringing this back around.
Well,
and
I'll tell you, it has to come back around because I Googled it the other day when we first were talking about it, and now it's been stalking me. You know how that happens when you Google something?
It's sharp.
It is so cool looking. I want one so badly.
Yeah. Well, if you're caller number 19 coming up in about 40 minutes, you might be able to rip us off for one.
And you can call it Felty.
Yeah. It's Felty. Right. I should get one, and I get a fleecy and Felty.
Oh.
Jeeves! Where's Felty?
I am fleecy.
Jeeves asks you, which one would you like today, sir?
Sir?
Fleecy or Felty?
Basically, what my world has become is no one wants to have real human contact with me. It's just me and
the guy you pay.
And the guy I pay to be there, right. Exactly.
But you can now add Felt to your requests from Jeeves.
Yes, I could.
Because it's now in again, thanks to the Blackhawks jersey.
And it is very much like Arthur at my house. It's like that movie Arthur. It's like
I picture that.
It's very, very much like that. I've got a guy, wearing a tux and tails,
uh-huh,
who just shows up every morning to, like at noon, to wake me up with one hard-boiled egg. It's quite a life. Anyway,
it's a hell of a life.
It is something. All right, let's check in with the news at the top of the hour. Then we got a top five at five you won't believe coming up. At 5:40, again, this opportunity awaits you.
Uh-huh.
And I want to tell you, I know something else big that's coming up. Oh, Renato Mariotti is going to talk to us. He's going to be here about the whole thing that's going on.
He's been tweeting up a storm. Yeah. He's got a lot of thoughts about this Cohen thing and connecting the dots.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you should. I think there's some connection to be made here. It's a very interesting situation. We'll have all of that coming your way. But first, Judy's news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN in 2 minutes. It's after 5 o'clock.
Can we take a breather for just a second? Boy, my head's spinning with so much with all the news today. It's been a bit crazy.
In time for the top five, we have to relive it all
second.
Right now.
A 1 second reprieve. That's all I ask. Thank you.
You guys want to do yoga?
No, I just wanted 1 second to breathe.
Talk about the Bears.
Let's not.
We learned that Kevin dreams about Bears. Khalil Mack saving him in various situations.
My cutoff jean shorts, Khalil Mack just dragging me out of the water as I drown, and then Mitch Trubisky throwing dimes on the beach while Coach Dicka waits with a platter of sausage.
These are great.
A platter of sausage and a Miller Lite, right?
And Miller Lite.
Yeah.
And some chips and salsa,
some
his famous salsa.
Kick-ass red wine.
Actually, it would have to be a Ditka beer because Iron Mike's or whatever it was called. There's a really good Pittsburgh beer that I don't think is his, which is amazing that it's not branded to him. He's better. He's out of the hospital, so we can have fun. The idea. But he has a. But whatever it is you need in your life, mm-hmm. like you when he was in the hospital, they were putting in Ditka branded stents into his heart. The Ditka catheter, Ditka IV bag.
And they all get the job done.
Right. He's got it. He's branded everything.
He's out of the hospital, so it worked.
Right.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah.
Now we go home and enjoy a Ditka Italian beef.
Right. Low cholesterol Ditka Italian beef.
That's what you want, getting out of the hospital for a heart issue. Why not?
All right. Are you clear now to start the top five?
I think so.
Are
I just ready? Needed that. All right. Minute, here we go. Second or two.
Hold on. I get and now I'm not ready. Oh, isn't that funny how that worked out? Yeah, hold on. Here we go. Now we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Number five.
15 agents of the federal government showed up without warning at Alderman Ed Burke's office in City Hall around 7:30 in the morning, making them by far the first people to be in City Hall.
They had brown paper with them, too.
They told staff to leave, and they pulled the brown paper across the glass doors, blocking the view while agents completed their work, whatever that happened to be. Then another team of agents showed up at Burke's office in the 14th Ward and papered over the windows there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of brown paper.
Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of had this, imagine this moment of where are the feds going and buying the brown paper from?
Oh.
They had to send a guy, like the team that goes in there.
Well, and they had to pre-scope to know that they had so much glass that they needed the brown paper in order to keep... You know,
this is something an alderman should know. If there's a guy dressed as a workman who is measuring the glass of your glass door,
or in a nice suit with a nice haircut,
yes,
that would also be a tip off.
Now,
and he's got brown paper in his hand.
Do you think they use the never measure? Because they could use the never measure. That'd be a good way to do that. I think
feds could use that.
Yeah, they could use that. But where do they go and buy the brown paper? Where do you go?
Go to the Office Depot? Maybe.
Is it Home Depot? Where do you get that?
It looks like butcher
U-Haul?
Paper.
U-Haul's a good idea. Maybe go to the U-Haul.
Menards.
Okay, four guys in suits with perfect haircuts and earpieces in, standing in line at U-Haul.
Black trench coats.
Right, with big, long, those rolls of brown paper.
Right, hauling it out in unmarked vehicles.
I don't know how that works. All right, now the Sun-Times reporting that the agents left the ward office with a cardboard file box, a computer, and two computer monitors. And they also said the agents left Burke City Hall office 7 hours after they got there. Anybody in my house for 7 hours, right?
Not even us. We're not even allowed to see your office.
No, 6 hours and 59 minutes, you got to go. And at City Hall, the agents went out the back way. Out the back way.
The back way?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not the front.
Here's Dane Placco. This is what Burke said to Fox 32's cameras about what happened today.
I've been in office for 49 years. I've been under investigation in the past. Nothing has ever come of it, and I've always cooperated, and I'll cooperate with whatever this investigation is.
Hey, in this city, careful how you use the word cooperated.
True. Mayor Emanuel wouldn't comment on about asking. He said it would be all about guesswork, so I'm not going to do that. Governor Rauner said, long overdue. And then the follow-up from Rick Pearson, I believe.
Finally, the truth!
Was, are you saying anything that you know that would lead you to make that comment? He said, long overdue. Repeated it again. So,
you know what we got to do? I think we got to get Rauner in here for Knarble. Have a couple drinks with him and have him just spill.
The outgoing governor. Yeah. That would be fun.
I mean, when he was
probably
here,
enjoy that.
Right before the election,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we said this to him on the air and off the air. I appreciate what he tried to do. He wanted to do something.
Absolutely.
It didn't work out.
He didn't get the coalition he needed in order to make things happen.
But he's got it was a tough gig. And I think if we get him some Mike Ditka, big ass red,
kick ass red,
and start. Shoving it down his throat, he might start telling us some things.
Could happen. We should put out the invite.
And another thing. You know who? You know, Rahm Emanuel's shorter than he even looks on TV.
This is some kick-ass wine.
I love this stuff.
Go Bears.
Would you like a Ditka Stogie while you're at it?
Oh, gee. 612, brown paper comes and rolls just like Christmas wrapping paper, and people are saying Menards is a go-to
Menards?
Spot
okay.
for that. It's paper drop
cloth. You
gotta
pick up a frozen pizza while you're walking out.
In the paint section, in case you're looking.
And some beef jerky and some dog food.
They do have everything.
They got everything there.
Snowblower. Guys in suits, guys in perfect but also fairly cheap suits.
Yes.
You know, wear it with one earpiece in, all standing in line, talking into their cuff to each other.
Perfectly gelled hair.
Right. Exactly.
No hair out of place.
Right. Exactly. And like $100 haircuts.
And
too.
I feel like to blend in, they wore like some Timberlands.
No, they don't know. They have no idea how to blend in.
Well, that's
no. They think
saying.
A suit. That's why I've always wondered about Grant Deporter from Harry Cares. I've never not seen him in a suit. And I think he's a Fed because Feds wear suits.
He does dress like a Fed.
They wear suits to go swimming.
And he has the black trench coat that's kind of nondescript as well.
So that is. All right, here we go.
Questions to ask him.
Yes, checking in at
number four.
President Trump took a few questions during the White House press lawn appearance today. He likes to just go out there with the helicopter. Even if he's not getting in the helicopter, does the helicopter land and start whirring out there? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Hey, Chinaman, I don't hear what you're saying. There was, honest to God, there was a reporter that had, there was one reporter somewhere from Asia, and then there was a reporter with another very thick accent asking him questions, and he takes those questions, and then he turns and goes, I don't understand what you just said, and then walks away from him. It's like...
Is that the right way to deal with that?
Really, that's, I don't think the right way to do it. I really don't. I mean, you have an international press corps there. Let's be a little respectful. And the fact that that's what's America. In America, we're the big dog. We're the most important nation on the planet. And these are people who are trying to represent, and I mean, I don't know if the Chinese government necessarily, they're going to send the most independent press over here, but I have no idea where this person was from. Mm-hmm. I just imagine how Trump thought about it in his head. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Watch that. If you can find that on YouTube, and it's just he's completely condescending to the people from other lands. Well, then why don't you just tell the White House Press Association they're not allowed to have foreigners there? Why don't you do that next? Let's
have an English test before they're allowed to.
Maybe a little tear gas. The light tear gas junior when they try to get into the White House to ask questions. Anyway, this is not what this is all about. No. So. He was asked about Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress about the Trump Tower in Moscow.
He was given a fairly long jail sentence, and he's a weak person. And by being weak, unlike other people that you watch, he's a weak person. And what he's trying to do is get a reduced sentence. So he's lying about a project that everybody knew about. I mean, we were very open with it. We were thinking about building a building. I guess we had in a form. It was an option. I don't know what you'd call it. I decided ultimately not to do it. There would have been nothing wrong if I did do it. If I did do it, there would have been nothing wrong. That was my business. So he's lying very simply to get a reduced sentence. Okay?
I like how he kind of drops that notion of, like, unlike other people I might know, Paul Manafort. I love you, Paul Manafort. Stay quiet, Paul Manafort. Pardon on your way, Paul Manafort.
We got to talk to Renato Mariotti about that when he joins us, because seems to be some conflicting news about whether or not what he can and cannot do
in the
business world while running, not president as president, but while running for office.
Correct. I think he has a misunderstanding. Now, you can forgive him misunderstanding this because he's an amateur at this, right? This was his first time ever running for anything.
And he already had deals in the works, you could argue. That would you stop them? What is his responsibility?
You know, unfortunately, I hate to keep going back to this, but in the summer of 2015, he appeared on this radio program, and I asked him exactly that.
You did.
And he was like, don't worry, it's all going to be fine, was his answer to us. Was, what about your kids? You got a business going? Do you really want to give up all of this? Kids are totally in. They love it. They're all behind us, and we're going to be fine. business, you know, it's, and I never understood that part. It was the thing that always amazed me, because the guy has been a very alternately successful and unsuccessful, but he's pretty legendary businessman in America, at least made himself very legendary. Absolutely. Right? His name's on everything. I mean, the only guy who's got his name on more stuff is Ditka. Maybe we could make the Trump Tower the Ditka Tower. Oh, I think Chicago would get behind that, wouldn't they?
I think you should start a petition on that.
Ditka Tower, Moscow. How about that?
He's big in Moscow, I'm sure. Coach?
I'm sure he is. He looks like a lot of those guys, right?
He's got the stash.
Yeah. Let's get your 3-2-1. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Is day three of the trial of the three Chicago police officers accused of a cover-up of the Laquan McDonald case.
This week on Chicago's Best, thin, crispy, and squared cut, it's tavern-style pizza on an all-new Chicago's Best Southside, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Okay. Oh my gosh. All right, we're moving along here on the top 5 at 5, because
sure
we have to.
Number three.
In an alternate universe, Al Gore might have won the 2000 presidential election and made the United States the face of global efforts to stop Earth from warming. But Gore lost. He went on to make a career out of advocating for the environmental changes. Is he dead? I'm reading this for the first time. Is he still with us? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make
age 70.
I hate to get to the end here. Let's see now. Where are we heading here?
About climate change?
We're gonna explode.
Okay. I see where we're going. Okay. I'm sorry. I should have read this in advance, but mm-hmm. this is just
pre-reading is overrated.
Yeah, that's exactly what Donald Trump said. It turns out that on Trevor Noah last night, Al Gore ripped President Trump for his constant denial of global warming.
You know, it's really significant that Donald J. Trump is now the face of climate denial. And there are those who are still giving him their loyalty and trust. And I get that, believe me. But the vast majority of Americans, not to mention all around the world, are really kind of, they've had it with the constant craziness, if you want to call it that way. When he's the principal global face of climate denial, I think that's a cue.
You know what, Al?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to suggest this to Al Gore, also to Bill Clinton and to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Retire from public life. Get out of the way. One of the reasons that Donald Trump found traction is because people found the Clintons and you really annoying. And that is, and it's not getting any better. The problem is, if there is a guy, the one thing that the Trump folks say about the global warming thing is that it's a whole complex. It's its own industry, right? And when Al Gore started trying to sell people carbon offsets,
mm-hmm.
right, it did seem like, oh, they are monetizing this. Either we're for the environment, we're going to do this out of the goodness for the future of humanity and our kids and grandkids and so on and so on and so on.
Yes.
Or we're going to make a really concerted effort using the science, best available science to us and the best available ways to do without ruining our, you know, making it worse or ruining our economies, right? We can dent them, but not ruin them, not wreck them. That seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah. It does.
Grandstanding is not a reasonable thing to do. I'm mad at everybody right now. I am taking no prisoners.
But the administration dismissed the entire report.
They're
it's
totally
not based
wrong.
On facts.
They're
and
totally
not science
wrong.
And, you know, it just.
But I think I need a new face. I need a new guy.
A new guy for the
yeah.
that movement?
Yeah. I need a new guy. And Al Gore is just not helping me with this.
Beto from Texas.
Yeah. Maybe Beto.
Ocasio-Cortez says some kind of her things.
Ah, no. I
She's
see,
not your,
no, I
your
see something
type of spokesperson.
Number two.
Southwest Airlines gate agent is in trouble after he posted a picture of and the name of a 5-year-old on social media.
She had epilepsy, too.
Right. Her name was Tracy Redford. And the girl's mom says the agent made fun of the name and even posted a photo of her boarding pass on social media for others to chime in.
The mom's name's Tracy Redford.
Yeah, the daughter's name is not.
daughter's name is A-B-C-D-E.
Right. That's what I meant to say.
Absidy.
Absidy. And this was, this is a problem.
While I was sitting there, she took a picture of my boarding pass and chose to post it on social media, mocking my daughter. The gate agent started mocking my child's name, laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, talking to other employees. So I turned around and just said, like, hey, I can hear you. So if I can hear you, my daughter can too. Like, I'd appreciate if you just stop.
How about that?
If your kid's name is ABCDE, you're going to get some scrutiny throughout life. I mean, that's going to happen. I guess you don't expect it from the airline employee to then sort of...
put it on social media.
Put it on social media. That was just not...
That's wrong.
I saw a report online, though. In 2014, 230 kids were named ABCDE.
ABCDE?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Seems like a lot, but I guess not in the majority.
Number one.
You know, we've heard of Netflix and chill, but Macaulay Culkin's taking it to a whole new level. He told Jimmy Fallon last night that he has often indulged women who want to go on a date with him just to watch Home Alone.
Yeah, it's something that's there. It's like a thing. It's like you got like a new girlfriend, and then, you know, you're flipping through the channels, and then there's Home Alone, and she's like, "Huh? Hey, you wanna watch it?" And I'm like, yeah. "You wanna watch Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin, don't you?" And she's like, "He's like, yes."
But do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I have indulged that. And most of the time, I'm just muttering my lines under my breath. And it's like, keep the change, you filthy animal. Like, you know,
come on.
Listen, yeah, whatever gets her motor running, I guess.
Oh, man. Everybody's got to have a move, and that's his move.
That's just creepy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That defines creepy right there. And you know what? This entire Top 5 at 5 is defined creepy.
The Top 5 at 5.
Kim's got the news.
Here's the story. Go back and look at the paper that Michael Cohen wrote before he testified in the House and or Senate. It talked about his position, what he's trying to do, because he's a weak person and not a very smart person. What he's trying to do is end, and it's very simple. He's got himself a big prison sentence, and he's trying to get a much lesser prison sentence by making up a story.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right there. There is the Commander-in-Chief standing next to Marine One.
How do you know?
Renato Mariotti is with us, former federal prosecutor. He's now a partner at Thompson Coburn here in Chicago. We see him on the CNN. He's the host of On Topic, the podcast. Hashtag On Topic. All right. I want to play something for you, and I want you to explain, as a former federal prosecutor, why what the president is asserting here is incorrect.
I don't know when I decided, but somewhere during the period of time, I was never very enthused. Somewhere during the period, because I was running for president. My focus was running for president. But when I run for president, that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to do business. I was doing a lot of different things when I was running.
That's the question.
Yeah.
We need some clarity there, Renato.
What's wrong with it? Well, it's hard to follow, right? That's the first thing. It's hard to understand what he's trying to say. But it seems to me like he has trouble pinning down what the date was. But while he was running for president, he was at some point engaging in a business deal in Russia that was involving him having substantial interest there. So I guess the first question is, in and of itself, is that a legal problem for him? And the answer is, probably not. It's probably a problem, you know, it may be a problem for our democracy, or maybe an issue that, you know, that this wasn't revealed to the public and they have a right to know. But I don't think in and of itself the fact that he had foreign business interests is an issue. The problem might be for him that, you know, first of all, he submitted written answers to Mueller recently. Mm-hmm. Were those accurate? If he willfully lied there, then that's a crime. Similarly, if he was involved in covering this up to Congress, because we know Michael Cohen lied to Congress and pled guilty to that today regarding that deal, then that would be a problem. And then there's various other crimes that could be surrounding that.
Let's go to one of those, which is, and you're the former federal prosecutor, and I've just watched television, so you'll have to explain this to me. But it seems that I have heard other lawyers argue that if he were to receive something of value from a foreign government, mm-hmm. and therefore building a tower in Moscow would be something of value, getting the rights to do that, or getting $4.5 million from a Russian oligarch to build a tower. And one could imagine that's from the Russian government. You could tie that. That you can't do, you can't accept that while you're running for president. It's a thing of consideration,
right? So that issue is whether or not there's an unlawful campaign contribution. So, for example, if a foreign government did something that moved the campaign forward in any way, whether it's money, you know, they're letting the campaign staff stay in a condo, whatever it might be, right, that moves the campaign forward, then that can be a crime. It's certainly unlawful on the civil side. Here, what I assume is going on is that this is a personal business deal that really never touched the campaign. Now, you could try to make the argument that by enriching Trump personally, that you're effectively allowing him to pour money into his campaign, but that strikes me as further afield. There is an issue that another problem would be if you accept the thing of value in exchange for an official act. That's what Governor Blagojevich did years ago, where you're, or at least tried to, where you know he's saying, okay, I want to sell the Senate seat for something or whatever. Right.
But he wasn't in a position to do that because he was just a candidate, not the president.
Right. It would be a problem if he said, look, I'll change the platform at the Republican convention in exchange for Trump Tower Moscow.
But is that actually a crime?
You know, it's an interesting, what I would call it, is an interesting legal question as to whether or not he's not yet there. What if he said, you know, you could imagine a hypothetical case in which somebody said, when I become president, I agree to do X, Y, Z. I mean, what if somebody said they're running for mayor now? When I am mayor, in exchange for $50,000 campaign contribution now, I will zone your building a certain way. It would be very interesting. I don't know off the top of my head whether that's a crime. It's something that I've considered a lot. When people ask me questions, it would take a lot of legal research. I don't know if it's happened before.
If you made that deal with Putin, you would think that Congress would look at that as part of any impeachment potentially, if it makes it to the Bob Mueller report. But we're not there.
Exactly. And just because it's all hypothetical. We're right. Asking legal questions.
Something that's not, the Wall Street Journal is reporting right now that there is some the investigators have emails from the kids, Don Jr. and Ivanka, going back and forth about the Trump Moscow project, and that in some way that this might increase their legal exposure for his immediate family. Do you see what legal issues there would be there? Weren't they allowed to go ahead and continue with the Trump business operations?
They were, and you're absolutely right that a couple of them, in fact, I think Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump are in charge of, and they're the two people who are in charge of that business right now. First of all, I would say today's news of Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress really ups the danger zone for Donald Trump Jr. Because if you told me tomorrow there's going to be an indictment of Donald Trump Jr. and what is the charge going to be, can you guess? I would guess lying to Congress.
I believe that Robert Mueller is setting up for us the Robert Mueller Advent calendar. Every day we are going to open a little door and there's going to be another indictment of somebody.
Oh, my goodness.
And
can you give me a day of rest at some point?
Well, I'm kind of thinking that I think we get another one. I think we're going to get another one tomorrow. And if we don't get another one tomorrow, certainly early next week. And you do wonder when Donald Jr. is going to get nailed for saying that there was no communication about this, because he also similarly testified in front of Congress. And that's an interesting problem. I don't have the specifics of how he worded it, so there may be a way that he gets around that. But if there was question about Russian involvement and what kind of contacts they were having with the Russians at that point, if they were denying having any kind of contact with the Russians about a Trump Moscow, then that would... Wouldn't that be a similar problem that you see Michael Cohen in?
Yeah, for sure. And I will just say, if we had this conversation yesterday and we were talking about this, I would have said, well, I'm not sure that Mueller would view lying to Congress as part of the scope of what he's investigating. And what we learned today is, yes, he does. And acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker agrees, because reportedly, at least according to CNN, he was informed of this decision beforehand. So, you know, he could have done something or tried to stop this or overruled it, and he did not do so.
You know, it's interesting because you point to an issue here about the sort of the insular nature of this and what the Trump legal team might know and what it doesn't. The Trump legal team is working together with the Manafort legal team.
We discovered that recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they have a joint defense agreement, which I didn't understand. I didn't realize how that can work.
Well, you know, yeah. So, look, I'm now on the other side of the defense side, and I enter into joint defense agreements. I have a number of them in my cases. And on the other side, when I was a federal prosecutor, they were routinely entered into. And all it means is this. If, generally speaking, when two people who aren't an attorney and their client talk to each other, it's not covered by attorney-client privilege for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But there's an exception to that called the common interest doctrine, where if there's two people who are parties or involved in the same legal proceeding, if they have a joint interest or common, they're kind of aligned the same way.
Their lawyers can talk to each other, and it doesn't breach their privilege.
Thank you. There you go. He's figured it out. Okay.
He's got it.
Rose, pretty. Right. You should go to law school.
He's a quick study. Yeah,
don't worry. So you're like, what are you, my mother?
I feel like you've had law.
Okay. So this, I guess, this is really the question. So if Manafort, this is the grand conspiracy that you're reading this in the New York Times today. The grand kind of play of Mueller was that they head faked to Manafort where they were going. Manafort gave the Manafort defense team went to the Trump defense team and said they were looking one way, and then they come up underneath with this Michael Cohen thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question that...
Because to get him to answer questions, I should just finish it, to get him to when the president had to write his answers out for the questions.
To feel comfortable with those questions.
Right, that he felt comfortable with the whole Trump Tower thing, thinking that that everybody was on the same page on the Trump Tower Moscow story.
Well, I don't know whether there's any head fake by Mueller. I will just say that there's no... I would just say this. What their lawyers did was unethical. It was very bizarre. It opens themselves up to their own legal and ethical liability, the lawyers themselves. And those conversations that they had are not privileged. And so, in terms of what they were trying to do, it seems to me like they were trying to undermine Bob Mueller's investigation. If it could be proven, which would be hard because I'm sure these were not written down conversations, then it would be potentially obstruction of justice. But in any event, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down Bob Mueller very much.
What does Bob Mueller's team get out of Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress when he's already cooperating fully, says he'll tell him anything, he'll do whatever he wants, basically? What does he get out of this?
Well, first of all, it may be that a couple things. First of all, that's a good question. No one's asked me that all day, by the way. I think it's a great question. First of all, there you go. Yeah. Before he cooperates and takes the witness stand, they have to make known his criminal activity to the jury, for instance, and show that he's taken account for that and he's getting punished for that. And lying, something that involves lying in particular, is the sort of thing you'd have to reveal to the jury. So that might be one reason. Another reason might be that he wanted a cooperation deal if he was going to keep doing this. And they said, well, okay, you have this liability out here. Let's wrap this up in a deal. This deal, he's not going to look for it much time in this deal. It doesn't really add to anything. It's going to be wrapped up as part of his current case that he's already pled to. And now they promised in there that if he continues to cooperate, they'll let the judge know about what he's doing. It's not a big a benefit, but it can be.
Departures, as they call them in the federal courts, right? Mm-hmm. Two departures under the sentencing guidelines here can mean a number of years by the time they're done, right? In terms of what he could be, and so when the judge does the sentencing, they look at the aggravating and mitigating circumstances, right?
They do, and they also take into account all sorts of factors about the person, I'll call soft factors, and one of them might be having a prosecutor standing up there and saying, "Wow, this guy really turned over a new leaf, and he's super truthful, and is doing the right thing," which is what would have happened for Paul Manafort if he had stuck on the same course, but of course he did not do so.
What do you think ends up happening in the Manafort deal?
Manafort ends up getting a very, very stiff sentence, and he gets a pardon in the end.
Okay. I think that's what everybody thinks. And then we go from just a political crisis in America to an actual civil crisis in America, because then what do you do if he starts – the Republican Party is going to have to decide what it wants to do with that.
Right, and they may probably nothing would just. I mean, it's not a legal opinion; it's just my common sense opinion. But then there's a Democratic Attorney General in Virginia, so that person might suddenly become a household name, and may decide to prosecute.
He puts Manafort in state prison.
Correct, which he cannot be pardoned for by Trump, but only by the Democratic governor of the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
there
boy.
You go. All right. Well, thank you, Renato. Appreciate
Renato.
It.
Anytime.
Yes. May we live in interesting times. Unfortunately, we do. Kim, what else is happening that's interesting?
Oh, well, some Illinois politicians not so surprised about the raids on Alderman Ed Burke's office today.
All right, Anna, sing along.
You don't want to hear that. You really don't. I will save you. But I do feel very proud when I hear this.
See, Northwestern fight song. And even when at the stadium, it's really interesting to watch people try to get... There's like always a really dedicated core of like six people. Uh-huh. Who all know the words, and they're trying to exhort everybody to sing along with them, and they all appear to be faculty. And I don't understand how it works.
That's how it works.
Anna, can you play on your violin?
Yeah. I'm going to try. If they win on Saturday, I will learn.
We are very proud to have Jim Phillips, the athletic director of Northwestern University. And, of course, we are the home of Northwestern University Athletics here at WGN Radio. We're so proud to be a part of that family.
Go Cats!
And this is a really, really special moment on Saturday, as the Northwestern Wildcats represent the Big Ten West in the Big Ten championship game. I mean, after the way the season kind of got off to a rocky start, Jim, I don't think anybody believed that was going to happen.
Hey, Ro, you and Anna know this better than anyone. It's about ratings. So you kind of tank early in the year, and you have this storybook finish, and now the ratings are through the roof. So yeah. that's what we did as a football program, and just really proud of those young men and Coach Fitz and the staff, because it didn't start the way any of us wanted in September. But I think when you have high-character kids and coaches, and they just kind of grind it out, stay with it, and here we are, 2 days away from just a magical moment to take the purple to Indy and a chance to play a really, really good Ohio State team for the Big Ten championship.
You know, you look at the Big Ten this year, and there, you take even teams like Nebraska that had a god-awful season, mm-hmm. right? And I think the turnaround for Nebraska, because Nebraska was thinking, even though they started very rough, they were thinking, well, we get past Northwestern, and we're going to at least get to a bowl, right? We're not going to win the West, but we'll at least get to a bowl. And Northwestern beating them in that amazing game, right, at Ryan Field, just crazy great.
Absolutely.
Overtime game. And it kind of, their season went into the pooper. But I would put Nebraska up against just about any other team in the country in terms of really talented. And then you had Wisconsin, a lot of injuries. But you had Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, even Minnesota. I mean, these are great football teams. So Northwestern winning the West is an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. In our division, we were undefeated, going 6-0 against those schools that you listed. And to finish the conference season 8-1, it's the same record as Ohio State. So I really do think it's the two best in the conference with a chance for a championship. That's the beauty, I think, of college football. I think that's why we all enjoy it, because every weekend you're just not sure what's going to happen. And the favorites sometimes get knocked off, and the underdog has its day, and sometimes it doesn't hold true to form. So really excited about it. We're going to have a huge group going over, which I know you are, and you're downgrading partners. You're leaving Anna during the weekend. You're going with
Kevin.
And you're going with Mr. Cat, Mr. Cat Dave Ennett, who's doing basketball in Bloomington, and then you're taking over midday, and then he's racing to Indianapolis to get there for the football game. So it should be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see you in Indy.
Right, because the Cats basketball team, which, by the way, congratulations, taking out Georgia Tech last night. That's something.
Huge.
Right there. I mean, it's a good year to be purple. It's a good year. I would just like, on behalf of WGN, I'd mm-hmm. like to thank Northwestern for being the most successful sports enterprise that we've got on this air right now. And so I'm very, very happy about that. But, yeah, so Kevin and I are going to go down and do the pre-game show, mm-hmm. Or be part of the pre-game
show. Make sure they behave, please, Jim.
From Indianapolis on Saturday.
We're a little excited, so we can't promise that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we are very excited. And I come from a sort of a bifurcated household here, uh-huh. because we have Ohio State allegiances, too. But we've got big, my mother and everybody in her family went to Northwestern, and then, of course, Anna went to Northwestern.
Yep.
So this is just going to be a great game. And I got to tell you something. I've been, watching watching Ohio State all season, every game, analyzing with the clicker, and it was a pretty impressive win against Michigan and Columbus, but they have really had struggles outside of the shoe this year. They barely got past Maryland. They barely, you know, obviously what happened at Purdue. Purdue's a pretty great team, though, too. I mean, it's going to be... This is going to be a great football game, and Fitz is exactly the kind of coach that will give Urban Meyer more headaches than he already has.
Well, I hope you're exactly right on all of that, and I am really proud of Fitz. He won Big Ten Coach of the Year this week. There was nobody more deserving than Pat, and you know, the team is a reflection of his leadership, and I think it's part of what we all love about the greatest city in the world, Chicago. It's a really blue-collar place, and that's, I think, how you would describe our football team. We may not have all the five-star recruits and all the glamour and the rest of it, but we have a tremendous team and a tremendous group of young guys that really are proud to wear the purple and white and represent, you know, such a world-class university like Northwestern. So it should be fun, and you know, we sold out of our ticket allotment, which was 10,000. In about 29 hours. And so, you know, I was all excited about that and, you know, happy about it. And then I got phone calls and emails from all the people that didn't get one of those 10,000 tickets that, you know, all over me. So I'll take it any day of the week and enjoy the opportunity again to showcase a great university on Saturday night. In Indianapolis.
I have to say this before you jump in, Kev. I just want to say that Jim Phillips was the first person and probably the last person ever to declare Northwestern a blue-collar school. Thank you, and move along, Kev.
That's a town.
Blue-collar football program.
Okay, all right.
Training facility, okay. Very blue-collar.
Now, there was nobody who bought that, Jim, but okay, go ahead.
Jim, Clayton Thorson, only quarterback in Big Ten history to throw for over 10,000 yards and rush for 20 touchdowns in his career. Only quarterback ever in the conference history. You've obviously gotten to know him over the past 4 years or so. Tell us a little bit about Clayton Thorson that maybe we don't know about other than what we've seen on the playing field, because he's really been a leader for this team for a while now.
He's a true unicorn. They come across once in a lifetime. A kid from Wheaton, wonderful family, just a wonderful leader, and somebody that we certainly wouldn't be in this position without. And I think what's really impressive is that during that bowl game last year in Nashville at the Music City Bowl against Kentucky with that tremendous 1-point victory by the Cats, you know, he had a really significant injury and left the field before halftime. And that's really a surgery that takes 10 to 12 months to come back from fully and really a chance to play. Clayton stepped out on the field at the end of August at Purdue, our first game of the season, first conference game of the year. And since that day, we've just followed his lead. I love him like a son. I really do. He means a lot to our program. He means a lot to everybody in that locker room. And, you know, I'm really glad he's leading us out there when we take the field at 8:17 on Saturday.
By the way, Northwestern a winning streak of 9 games away from Ryan Field, wins in 15 of their last 16 Big Ten games, and winners of 7 of their last 8 overall. It's just nice. We talked about it all year, and Ro mentioned it. It's just it's a wild time to be a Cat fan with the new facility where the basketball program is, where the new basketball arena is at. You had Notre Dame at Evanston this year. It's just an awesome time to be a Northwestern Wildcat fan.
Kevin, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think what it states is you can have it all at Northwestern, and the graduation rates came out 2 weeks ago right before Thanksgiving. Northwestern has a 98% graduation success rate in athletics.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
That is an amazing number.
It is amazing. 98. And listen to this. Football is the number one team in the country in FBS at 99%. Wow. And so these kids are not only doing it on the football field, but they're tremendous ambassadors in the community, a group that's led us to 5,500 hours of community service. all over in the Chicagoland area. I'm telling you, some of our kids have been around trying to help others, and we all know that there's a lot of folks that are less fortunate that we need to help. And then they do it on Saturday afternoons or Saturday evenings in this case. Coming up, so
it is always amazing.
It is amazing
because I want to point this out:
academics that they have to juggle the academic rigors. You guys know how hard that is, and to be really dedicated to their sport, and then also be dedicated to helping others. It's a really special, unique.
You know,
group of young men and women.
I have to say, one of the most amazing things at Northwestern football, when you go to the games, is when they have the alumni come out on the field, the alumni players come out on the field, and they honor them, you know, in halftime or whenever it happens to be. And then, you know, it's like, you know, a guy played football at Northwestern. Now he's Dr. So-and-so.
CEO of this company.
Right, hey, CEO. He has a hedge fund that is an unpronounceable name. You know, it's sort of like.
So true.
And you're like, wow. It is. It's a very proud tradition. We wish. It's going to be just a ton of fun.
I can't wait.
And imagine a Rose Bowl. I mean, they come out of this.
Beautiful.
And then
I was at the last one. It was phenomenal.
That would be something. And I mean, you're still going to a bowl regardless of what happens on Saturday. It'll be kind of interesting to see. You know what really sucks? Is if Ohio State wins this game. Jim, don't listen to this.
If Ohio State wins this game, I don't want to listen to this either.
And then they get pulled into the championship, you know, the playoff. Then Northwestern should go to the Rose Bowl, but it will go to Michigan, which I think, I believe, is a terrible crime against humanity. I might be overstating it, but I still think that's a bad thing.
No, I do.
So we'll see, but we'll see what happens. But a Rose Bowl, boy, Northwestern would just be a dream season. And I'm telling you, people should watch this Northwestern basketball program. Because they had one of the top sought recruits in the entire country end up at Northwestern. And Georgia Tech had no idea. Georgia Tech has only lost one game, right? They were 4-1 or 5-1 going into that game last night. And they were looking at themselves like, what? Who are these guys? Right? Pretty great.
Very cool.
Great win. Yeah, great win for Chris Collins and his guys. We've moved to 6-1 on the season. And as we talked about, head to Indiana on Saturday, and then next Tuesday have our home opener in the Big Ten against Michigan. So
how about that? The Wolverines here against Michigan on Tuesday. I think I might have to go to that game. I think I might have to
go. Absolutely. You got it.
I think we're all in for the Rose Bowl.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good luck, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Go Cats. Thanks, guys.
Go Cats. We'll see you down in Indianapolis on Saturday.
Saturday is quite the day for the Cats in Indiana. Dave Ennett's doing the call at Indiana, Bloomington.
That's a huge game.
And then he's flying up north. It is north, right?
No, it's kind of east.
Well, then he's flying to Indianapolis.
Is he
driving,
flying?
No, he's driving. He's flying.
It's like a 40-minute drive.
And then he's calling the Big Ten title game.
That's going to be great. It's going to be great. And you have half the student body from Northwestern going. You forget how small Northwestern is relative to other Big Ten schools.
Right?
Ohio State, 40,000 students. You know, because of that nice alum who donated the anonymous
alum. How many for Northwestern?
They've got 4,000.
Guys, hold on 1 second. We got Blackhawks hockey coming your way, and Violetta's got to jump in with the traffic trouble spots here.
Hey, Bears fans. Enter for your chance to win 2 spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun, chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune.
All right.
You were asking before, Northwestern undergrad, 8,300 compared to Ohio State's 40,000.
40,000, yes.
So the fact that they, you know.
40,000 seems small, actually. I think they're undercounting at Ohio State. Ohio State, the campus goes on for 1 million miles.
That's right. And 4,000 have bought the tickets. So they're saying half of the student body will be there.
Right. 4,000 Northwestern students have bought it. There's a 10,000 allotment per university. And this stadium. Right? I mean, it holds 70,000 or something. So there's going to be a lot of... It's beautiful. The Luke is great.
It's a great spot. Yeah, I went to the Big Ten title game a few years ago. There. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Great time.
It's great. Indianapolis, I just hate to say it, but Indianapolis is a great town. It's a great event town. Like, if you have to go there for a big sporting event or like the Indy 500, put it on your bucket list and go. It is one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. or there's a convention or whatever. They do it really well. It's nothing but hotels downtown,
right?
And then statues of Mike Pence, and then there's like a cool little bar district, and right. there's like it's nice. It's a very quaint Midwestern town.
You got St. Elmo's cocktail sauce if you need to clear your sinuses.
You got, great. You got the whole thing going down there. I like the way you're thinking there, Kevin.
Yeah.
So we're looking very much forward to Indianapolis. It'll be like the fourth time I've been in Indianapolis this year.
I was going to say.
I don't know why.
Wait, why have you been there four times?
I have no idea. Well, I went to the Indy. That was the first one.
All right, that makes sense.
And a bachelor party?
Then I had to go defend myself in a speeding ticket.
Oh.
And then I was there for, I was driving back through from some other, where the hell was I? But I ended up playing golf at the Indianapolis 500.
Is this cool. What my stories sound
yeah.
like?
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Something's not adding up.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, yeah, sure. We'll
memory blockages.
Yeah. I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. I forgot we're on the air. Anyway, the point is, I was there.
You're there four times.
This will be the fourth
time
I'm there.
My favorite substitute teacher is from Indianapolis.
Yeah, it is really nice.
Favorite substitute teacher.
She taught me Frankenstein.
Mrs. Pence?
No, I actually can't remember her name, but she was cool. She got married.
She taught you Frankenstein?
Yeah, the book.
You had to change the story from what your parents told you about your family? How did that work?
It was American Lit or something.
Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
You guys are going to have a ton of fun.
Oh, it's gonna be...
I've already got a bunch of beef jerky and Slim Jims for the road trip.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Because you got to have beef jerky for a road trip.
Yeah.
I want to go on the road trip.
You're not invited.
No, you're not invited.
No.
Why?
Because it's...
too many bathroom breaks.
Right. Because we have to make it to Indianapolis in under 18 hours. Could you pull over?
All right, tight schedule.
I've got that thing. Could you pull over? Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, go Cats.
We'll
talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. We got a lot going on here. But right now, Chicago Blackhawks hockey is getting ready. We got the Hawks got to turn it around. They're going to turn it around.